Let's turn to Matthew chapter 21. We're going to have a look at some verses here. And this is the announcement. What think ye? Okay. I changed the sermon title this morning. It was Go, Go, Go. And then I changed it to What Think Ye? But you could take it whichever way you like. It could be Go, 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 What Think Ye? Or What Think Ye, Go, Go, Go. But let's have a look at God's Word just before we start this evening, looking at beginning at verse 28 of Matthew chapter 21. And it says here, "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I will not,' but afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, 'I go, sir,' and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, 'The first.' Jesus saith unto them, 'Verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and harlots believed him. And ye, when ye have seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him.'" Let's just pray, shall we, as we begin to have a look at some of this passage this evening. Our Father in heaven, we're so grateful that we can meet in your mighty name this evening. We just pray, Lord God, that our hearts, and as we've sung, that our eyes would be turned to you, that we'd see something rich and full this evening, that we'd see the truth of your word, that we might walk in it, we pray. Help us, Lord God, to cast off those things that are a burden, that would hold us back. Help us, Lord God, to ignore those things of life, Lord God, that would take our gaze off you, we pray now, in Jesus' name. Amen. In this little passage here, we find that Jesus teaches them a parable. And in this little parable, he addresses, of course, probably his disciples were there, but we need to go back to verse 23 to find out who exactly he was talking to. Because it really wasn't his disciples that needed to believe, because they'd already believed, especially those that had already heard John the Baptist. But there were a group of people who had already heard John the Baptist, rejected him, and then of course rejected his message. And if they rejected John the Baptist and John the Baptist's message, they also rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, because we know that John the Baptist's main goal was to point ahead. He was that forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Back in verse 23, we find out who it was. "And when he was come into the temple, the chief priests and elders of the people came unto him as he was teaching and said, 'By what authority doest thou these things? And who gave thee this authority?'" So Jesus is talking to this group of people. He's talking to the chief priests and the elders of the people. And they had asked him a question. And the question was this: who gave you the right to do what you're doing? And for a start, Jesus says in verse 27, "Neither tell you I by what authority I do these things." Now, he wasn't blatantly going to say, "No, I'm not going to tell you anything." But then he goes on to say, "But what think ye?" He says, "Think about this." And then he goes into a parable. Then he goes into this parable here, which we've just read. And he starts it off by saying that, "What think ye? What think ye?" And he gives the answer. And as we start into a new year, it's a good way to start the new year, isn't it? By asking ourselves that very same question. What think ye? And as we go through this evening, we need to ask ourselves this question. As we go through this year, we need to ask ourselves this question. What think ye? And then Jesus goes on to bring the parable to them. What think ye? We need to think about God, the word of the Lord, this evening. And as we enter into this new year, we need to be reminded that God's word is a lot to us, isn't it? It's that lamp to our feet in this dark world. It's our daily sustenance, the milk and the meat. It's the sweetest honey, and it's far better than our necessary food. What think ye? Because it's in this word that we find tonight just seven words that we're going to look at. It's in this parable in Matthew chapter 21, and particularly in verse 28, we're just going to look at seven words. And these seven words here were uttered twice by this father to his sons. And these seven words are this, at the end of verse 28. Son, go work today in my vineyard. Let's read that together, shall we? Twice, okay? Because we're going to look at these seven words and we're going to think about these things. So let's read it. Son, go work today in my vineyard. One more time. Son, go work today in my vineyard. I'm going to ask you that again soon, so try and remember it, okay? Try and remember it. Now, as you know, I like to have alliterations, but I'm a little bit backward this evening, so the alliteration is at the end of the word, okay? So as we go through these seven words, we're going to look at each one individually. So there's 7 points for the seven words here that we're looking at. And as we look at these words, I want you to make application to your life in relation to this new year and what you could do as you think on these things. The first word here is the word son. The word son. To me, this talks of unity. It talks of unity. And all these words end in T-Y. Son speaks to me about unity. So this is our backward alliteration as we go through. Here, the father addresses his sons. This father has two sons. He addresses his offspring, his heirs, those who would later on in life inherit the father's riches, that vineyard that he has there. And he speaks to them and he asks them this important question that we're looking at this evening. And as I said, this word son speaks of unity. It reminds me of the unity we share, not just as brethren together, but particularly the unity and relationship that we have to the Father. Now, I'm not brushing aside the unity we share together as brethren, because that's very important. But here this word son speaks to us, you and I, as Christians, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, it speaks to us of unity, the unity we have with the Father, Jehovah God. Let's turn to a few passages to have a little bit of a think about, meditate on these things. Let's turn, first of all, to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, and beginning at verse 4, we read these words. It says, but after that, the kindness and love of God our Saviour toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Saviour, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. What a precious verse this is. How is it that we became his sons? It was because he justified us by his grace. He showed us his love through the Lord Jesus Christ, who shed his blood for us. We became, as it tells us here in verse 7, we became heirs. We join in that inheritance that the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Son of God, had. If we turn back to Romans chapter 8, we can expand on this even more. Romans chapter 8. And I want you to notice, as I read this, the descriptors that are used of sons. Okay? As we look at Romans chapter 8. And we'll begin there at verse 14. It says this, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together." Did you notice those things? First of all, we're called the sons of God. Then we're called the children of God. Then heirs of God. And then joint heirs with Christ. And this place of unity in the family of God is a place of privilege and honour and a real blessing, isn't it? A great place to be at the beginning of the year and a great place to start to think about what's going to happen through this year. And as we set our goals for the year, it's a great place to start to realise, hey, I'm a son. I'm a child of God. I'm an heir of God. I'm a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. What think ye? Meditate on this. In 1 John chapter 3, if we quickly turn there, we're reminded of why it is that God did this. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, he says this, "Behold," okay, it's a good word, that behold. If you ever see behold, you need to sit there for a little while and just have a meditate on these things because there's something really good. It's like saying, you know, hey, check this out. This is really important. Just as John the Baptist stood there and said, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world," when we see this word behold, there's something important coming up. And as sons, this is something really important. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." Isn't that something important to behold? Just to think, the only way that we could be sons, heirs, joint heirs, is because God showed his love to us. For God so loved the world. Behold, what manner of love. What sort of love did it take for God to do that? It took a love that he would send his only son, that we might become sons with him, that we might become one with him. Sons reminds us of unity. It's a place of the Father's love. It's a place of blessing. It's a place of unity. And it's a wonderful place to be. It's wonderful to be called the sons of God. It's with this love that the Father addresses you and he addresses me as his sons. Now, what did he say to his sons? Those seven words, we say it again. "Son, go work today in my vineyard." I see mouths moving. I'm a little bit deaf. Ask my wife. Say it again. "Son, go work today in my vineyard." The next word is go. All right? The next word is go. And this talks to me about authority. So we've got a TY at the end there. That's good. And here the Father gives the command of authority. He addresses his son, and we've just figured it out because this refers to you and me as well as sons of the Father. So God tells us to go. And as we look around the world today, we live in a go, go, go world, don't we? Everything just seems to go. Everything's going on around in the world today. And, you know, we have the capacity in our world to go today to go to many places, don't we? We can go to many places very quickly and sometimes quite cheaply. Okay, especially if you fly Tiger Airlines or one of those cheaper airlines, you can go quickly and very cheaply. And everybody seems to be going. Terry and Rachel just went. Okay, later on the week, Ken's going. Okay? And I wonder if you've ever sat in an airport
and I don't sit in many airports, but I know some of you here probably sit in airports, and you watch the people going. And you ever thought, where are they going? Where are they going? And then apply that spiritually. Because as you sit there, you see it's just non-stop. They're just going, they're going, they're going. And I wonder if you've ever sat there and thought, I wonder where they're going. And as you've seen the people walking past, you wondered, I wonder where they're going in terms of eternity. And we can ask that question here tonight, can't we? We can ask you that same question to say, where are you going tonight? Where are you going in relation to eternity? Because we know that the Bible tells us that there are only two ways to go, two places to go. And as you sit there and you're looking at the people, perhaps at the airport, train stations, as you're driving up and down the freeway, all the cars, they're all going. Could you ask that question? Where are all these people going? In Matthew chapter 7, if we quickly turn back there, we find that there are only those two places to go. Matthew chapter 7, we're going to begin reading at verse 13. It says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that findeth it." There's two ways. There's one broad way, one narrow way. There's one way that's an easy way and one way that's a hard way. But only one way leads to eternal life. One way leads to destruction. One way leads to eternal life. And I hope this evening that you've chosen that hard, narrow way. That way that leads to eternal life. Because many, many people, and probably as you sit there and see people rushing by, many people have chosen to go the wrong way. They've chosen to not listen to what Jesus told us in John 14, verse 6, where he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. I alone am the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way." Which way have you chosen to go? Even as Christians today, when we know, yes, we're on that narrow way, but sometimes we prefer that narrow way to be a little bit easier than what it should be. And we prefer to just sort of try and stick to the middle of the path and trying to take it easy. We know we're on the right track. But sometimes we get caught up in this go-go world and all the things that are happening around us. And we can do a lot of going, but never get anywhere with our walk with the Lord. Sound true? We can do a lot of going, but never get anywhere with our walk with the Lord. We can be doing putting in quite a bit of effort, but just running up and down on the spot, getting absolutely nowhere with our walk with the Lord. Christian, where are you going at the moment? What's your plan for this year? Is your plan to make sure that you're going in the right direction and making ground? Or is it just going to be like, you know, the past few years where you haven't made any ground, you hadn't grown anything really in the Lord? You've worn out your shoes, but that's just because you're just marking time in one spot. Let's make sure that when the Father says to us to go, that we're actually going somewhere. So he's given us that command, hasn't he? Not just here where we looked. If we turn to the end of the book of Matthew in chapter 28, he says in verse 19, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." So here's the instruction, not just to the disciples here at the end of the book of Matthew, but he tells us this goes for us too. We should be going out there. We should be listening and heeding the Father's instruction, His command, and going out and telling all those people that seem to be going the wrong way, hey, hang on, you're going the wrong way. This is the way you should be going.
We should be out and about. Are you going about the Father's business?
You remember what Jesus said in Luke chapter 2 when he was around 13 years of age and went back to the temple, 12 years of age, and his parents come back and found him in the temple. What did he tell them? I must be about my Father's business. Okay? He knew what he was about. He knew what he was going to do. He knew what he had to go to do. He knew where he was heading.
And we need to take on that as well. We need to make sure that no one distracts us from our Father's business. Now, what is the Father's business? What did the Father instruct the sons to do in this parable?
Okay, what are those seven words again? Son, go work today in my vineyard. One more time. Son, go work today in my vineyard. What's the next thing? Work. Son, go work. And that speaks to me of activity. Activity. We all need activity. And we all need activity just to lead healthy lives, both physically and spiritually. And that's what sets us apart from the rocks. You know, the living from the non-living. Activity. Especially thinking about this word work, it means this. It means to toil at a task or an occupation. In implication, it means to have an effect on, to be engaged in or with, to commit to do, to labour for, to minister about by trade or by work. What work do you do that is the Father's business? Now, in a sense, all work we should do should be the Father's business. No matter what we do, we should do all things to His glory. But what is it specifically that you minister about? Back in that, what is it that is your ministry? What effect are you having with what you are doing? Have you committed to work at the Father's business? When the Father said, son, go work. Have you really sought out what it is that the Father, what work it is that the Father has for you? Because as Christians, as in this parable here, we are instructed to work. Not just in our daily jobs, we're instructed to do that as well, because it tells us that if you don't work, you don't eat. But God instructs us as Christians to go out and do His work. Let's turn up to Titus chapter 3 again. I like the book of Titus. Titus chapter 3. And it says in verse 8, and we'll just start at verse 5 first of all, just so we get the right perspective. It says this, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He has saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Now, work isn't going to earn you anything in terms of salvation. We know that. But then in verse 8, it says this. This is a faithful saying. These things are important. And these things I will that thou would affirm constantly. So something we should hear over and over and over again. That they which have believed in God, in other words, that those that have been saved according to His mercy and been washed and regenerated, which have believed in God, might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable. Now, this word here, maintain, means this. It means to set it out in front. It means to set out in front. These things need to rule you. These things should be your goal. This is where you're heading. This is where you're going. You need to maintain, to set out in front of you, to be careful to set out in front of you. Make sure you do this.
maintain good works. So, if that's not a command to go out and do the Father's business, I don't know what is. These things are good and profitable unto men. If you want to be profitable in the kingdom, make sure that your goal is to do the Father's business. Make sure that you're involved in the activity, in the work of the Lord. Because that's good and that's profitable. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, that last verse there in the chapter. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. And that word vain means useless. What you do for the Lord is not useless. It's not empty. It's profitable. It's worth something. Okay, and that's what it means when it tells us in the Ten Commandments not to take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, not to use his name in a useless and a worthless way, because God's name is above every other name. And his work, when we do his work, it's not going to return to us like his word, void, absolutely useless, absolutely worthless. Because God says, this is something you should be doing, this is something that's profitable, this is something that's good. It's something that we should abound in. It's something that we should be steadfast at. It's something that we shouldn't let anyone or anything take from us or it from you. It's something that we should, remember what it said back there? We should maintain, have set right out in front of us. It should rule over us. It should say, this is the goal. I want to do the Father's work. I want to be active for the Lord. There's great profit and reward to those sons who go and work. Now, you might say that sounds like a good idea. And you might say, boy, that's a good idea. But I might do that tomorrow. I'm not quite ready for it yet. Or soon. I've just got to get a few things sorted out. Perhaps next week. Perhaps next year. Now, next year's a long way off. But let's go back to the seven words. Son, go work today in my vineyard. Number four is today. Son, go work when? Today. When? Today. And that talks to me of opportunity. The opportunity is not next week. The opportunity is not next year. The opportunity is not when I get a little bit older, little ones, younger people, older people. The opportunity is today. The opportunity to be active in the Lord's service, to be doing that profitable thing, is today. Start doing it now. Don't put it off. Don't put it off, because our time on this earth is short, isn't it? Our time is so short. And our life is described in God's word as that vapor that just gets blown away. It's described as the green grass. What happens to the green grass? It fadeth away, or the locusts come and eat it. And we've seen that. There one day, gone the next. Don't put God's work off today, because you might miss that opportunity to be active for him. You might miss that opportunity to grow yourself. You might miss that opportunity to gain an eternal reward for the work you've done. An opportunity to win others. An opportunity of profitable service. Soon, it will be too late. Soon, it will be too late. And when you think of it in relation to the vineyard, if you don't go down and pick them apricots soon, those little birds are going to come along and eat them all up. Right, girls? It happens. If you don't get in there and beat the birds, The fruit gets taken away. And what an application that is. What an application it is. Soon it will be too late. Let's go back to John chapter 9. John chapter 9. And here in John chapter 9 and verse 4 it says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. Why? Because the night cometh when no man can work. So if you know that you've got something to do, then you need to be doing it today, not tomorrow, because it says here, soon it will be night. And that basically means this, that soon the light won't be here to shine. You might lose that opportunity to work. So today is the soon. Today is the day. Because soon it will be night and the opportunity to work in the light will be lost. So don't wait, but go. Now, go where? Where was he told to go? Let's go back and say these seven words again. Son, go work today in my vineyard. The next word is in, and this speaks of locality. So, son, go work in. Now you might say, but I can't go. What would I do? How would I do it? And but you need to be reminded about this when we think of locality. When God tells us to go somewhere, it's not somewhere strange. Okay? It's not on a different planet or anything like that. It's not somewhere strange. Because as we read back in Matthew 28 and verse 20, what did Jesus say right at the end of that? And lo, I'm with you always. All right? Let's turn back there to Matthew because there's something else important we need to look at there. Matthew 28. And he says there, and doing whatsoever things I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. That's a long time. That's a long time, isn't it? I mean, even when this world ends, will Jesus be with us? Because he's promised us that when we die, when this world ends, we're going to be with him right on through eternity. So if God tells us to go somewhere, to some certain locality to do some activity, then we should be able to go because we know we don't go alone. Jesus even reminded us of this in Hebrews 13:5. He just told us he would never leave us or forsake us, that he is with us always, and that he has equipped us to be able to go to that locality with gifts and talents, that he's told us we can do all things through him. And he said go, because he's going to strengthen us. So don't waste time in thinking, oh, I can't do that, I don't know where to go. Because he has told us where to go. The sixth word here is what? Son, go work today in my vineyard. The next word is my. And that speaks to me of property. Property. And as I said, God doesn't send us into the unknown. God sends us to a place that he owns. That's his. God sends us to the place that he created. God sends us to his personal property. All that belongs to God, including us, that's where we're told to go, to God's own personal property. And because this is God's world, this is his property, it's his creation, he has that authority to say, go. He has that power to say, go. And that's what Jesus said back in Matthew 28 and verse 18. He said, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven
and in earth. All authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. I own it all, so what I says goes. So when he says go to a certain place to do a certain activity, if he's telling you to do that, then you can go. And you can go in the assurance that he's with you, that he's given you what you need to perform that activity, and we should just go. Go because it says, go ye therefore, because of authority. Did you notice that in verse 19? It says this, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, because I've got all power and authority. This is why you should go. Go then, because I give you the authority to go. This is my place, this is my heaven, this is my earth. No one can stop you if you're going in my name. Go. He gives you that authority to go into his property. Therefore, when he says go, we go as his ambassadors with his blessing and in the power and in his power and with his authority. So any work he sends us to do can be done confidently and assuredly, and we can go not knowing that anything we do in his name won't be in vain. The last word. Let's have a look at this. We're told where to go. Son, let's say it together. Son, go work today in my vineyard. We're told to go into his vineyard. We know it's his. He owns everything. A vineyard, I'm sure you know, is a place where vines are. There's one across the road from our place. And usually in the Bible, the vineyard wasn't just owned by any Joe Blow. It was someone who was fairly rich and prosperous. And this father here must have been a rich and prosperous fellow, because he had a vineyard and he told his sons to go there and to work. A vineyard was a symbol of prosperity and also of productivity. So there we go. Vineyard speaks of productivity. You were waiting for that, weren't you? The vineyard was a place where the goal was this. What was the goal? What's the goal of a vineyard? To produce fruit. To produce fruit. Okay? And that should be our goal as well. When you think about it, shouldn't it? Our goal should be go work today in my vineyard to produce fruit. And we really do need to turn to John chapter 15 and be reminded of this as Jesus talks about himself, and he talks of us, and he talks of the true vine. Down in verse 5 of this, it says, I am the vine, in John chapter 15, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. How is it that we abide in Christ? By producing fruit. When we're doing his work, we're involved in the work of the Father. That's when we're abiding in Christ. We go to the Father's vineyard to work, to produce fruit, to be a productive part of the vine or the body. That's what it's all about. When we produce the fruit, we show productivity and we show that we want to glorify the Father. We show that we're his disciples. Because when that fruit is produced, it's not ours. Whose is it? It's the owner of the vineyards. And the Father then is glorified. And because we are his sons, and co-heirs, we get some of that as well. But this is what our aim should be, to produce fruit. Because when the Father has productivity, we'll have productivity as well. The Father's fields are ripe for the harvest, aren't they? We see these people out there today going, and we ask, I wonder where they're going. If you get that opportunity to go and talk to someone as they're going, try and point them in the right direction. What type of son are you? Because back in this parable, there were two types of son. One said, yes, I'll go, but nothing happened. For a little while. Then he decided, I will go. Then there was a son that said he didn't want to go and he didn't do anything at all. What type of son are you? Don't put off until tomorrow. Do it today. Son, go work today in my vineyard. What think ye? Is that a reasonable thing? Is that our reasonable service? To go and work today in his vineyard? Is that what our aim is this year? To make sure that this vineyard that God's sending us to is going to be the best vineyard, that's going to have the best fruit, that's going to have the best harvest? Let's make sure that that's the case this year, shall we? What think ye?